Customs Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.heaitonline.com. That's HEAITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest this afternoon, William Grieve, we're talking about what is happening to as far as our economy is concerned. William is simply pointing out that the corn crop will be largely decimated. That isn't decimated will be used for ethanol, according to federal mandate, where we have to subsidize every gallon of ethanol that's produced here, and we could get it for considerably lower price if we just allow it to be imported from Brazil. They can make it much cheaper than we can. They use sugar. They do not use up a valuable commodity like corn, but as the price of corn skyrockets up to $8 a bushel, why, of course, the price of chickens and eggs and beef and hogs goes up, and then, of course, they begin to slaughter the beef and the hogs because they can't afford to feed them, and then, of course, the price really goes up because we have shortages, and so we seem to be in sort of an endless cycle of upward prices, and then the collapse of much of our economy. Isn't that true?
That's true, and you're talking about something that not many people take into account. And that is the fact that when you're looking at the economy, you're looking at an organic whole. I hate to use a word that has roots in sort of the New Age lexicon, but the word holistic does apply here. You're talking about things that create self-sustaining feedback loops. And that's one of the reasons why you can't have a centrally planned economy. Nobody is omniscient, of course, this side of glory. And there's only one who's omniscient in the universe, and that's the Creator. And nobody else, of course, has the qualifications to supplant him in that role. You have these people who flatter themselves that they're somehow made of finer, more numinous stuff than the rest of us, and they have infinite competence in arranging the economy to the benefit of everybody. And so they have the right, supposedly, to use a fraudulent tool, which is called inflation, in order to balance the economy and make it work according to their own whims, remold it closer to their heart's desire, to use the old Fabian strategy. And that, of course, always conduces to disaster because they simply cannot control the variables in a healthy and growing economy, let alone control the variables in an equitable or efficient way in an economy that is as sick as ours has become. I am really, really worried about the fact that you take a look at the entire range of agricultural commodities that are really the pillars of our consumer economy here in terms of what we need in order to survive. You're talking not only, of course, about the food commodities, but also energy. Those things are kept out of the consumer price index for a reason. That's where price inflation shows up at its most pernicious way when you're talking about the price that we pay at the pump and the price of fuel factored into everything that we buy at a retail store or at a grocery store. These things, of course, represent the elements of the consumer economy without which we cannot live, and of course the government keeps those things very carefully out of the consumer price index so as to conceal the extent to which our earnings are being attacked by price inflation, and that's of course a product of monetary inflation by the Fed. Just in the last couple of days there have been a number of headlines that have come out that have italicized what we talk about here. There's a terrific piece in the Telegraph of London from Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who's a very good, capable analyst of what's going on in the marketplace. The problem is he tends to be a little bit Keynesian in his outlook. That's a result probably of being British, unfortunately. He points out that Barclays Capital has advised clients to batten down the hatches for a worldwide financial storm, warning that the U.S. Federal Reserve has allowed the inflation genie out of the bottle and let its credibility fall below zero. We're in a very nasty environment, said Tim Bond, the bank's chief equity strategist. There is an inflation shock underway. This is going to be very negative for financial assets. We are going into tortoise mood, and we are retreating into our shell. Investors will do well if they can preserve their wealth. Barclays Capital said in its closely watched global outlook that the U.S. headline inflation would hit 5.5% by August. That, of course, is an understatement by at least 7 or 8%. And the Fed will have to raise interest rates 6 times by the end of next year to prevent a wage spiral. If it hesitates, the bond markets will take matters into their own hands. This is the first test for central banks in 30 years, and they have fluffed it. They have zero credibility, and the Fed is negative if that's possible. It has lost all credibility. At the same time, the World Bank of Scotland, as we pointed out last week, Dr. Stan, has issued a global crash alert for around September of this year, which appears to be the consensus of those who are actually watching what the economy is doing, as opposed to those who are merely regurgitating the sound bites that are being fed by the Federal Reserve and by the Bush administration, that September, October of this year, when the fiscal years come to an end and when accountings have to be made, that that's going to be the beginning of a real death spiral in the investment markets, but also in the real economy, that what's going on right now with the unwinding of these derivatives in the realm of elite banking is going to start having more tangible impact on the real economy where the rest of us live. And that's a scary prospect because the economy right now is frankly terrifying. I think I shared with you last week, Dr. Stan, about our trip that our family took down to Los Angeles just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And, of course, we were driving because we can't afford to fly. For reasons that you outlined in your prologue, we simply can't afford to fly. We're not going to be treated like cattle or commodities, which is pretty much how you have to be treated if you fly commercially these days, if you get through the security without any mishaps. And I never seem to be able to do that. We have a family of seven, and in order to get down to Los Angeles, we had to rent a car and drive, which meant that we had to buy gasoline. And as we stopped in Winnemucca in the middle of the night, I was sort of surprised to see a sign on the gas pump that said that you were limited to $75 with each purchase. As happens, we didn't need to buy $75 worth of gasoline on this particular occasion, but I was wondering how people who drive larger vehicles than ours would fare, particularly those who were involved, for instance, in long-distance trucking. How are you going to be able to get by with $75 worth of gasoline when it just isn't that much? And I was talking with the attendant behind the counter, asking where people would buy gasoline further on up the road, and the next stop from Winnemucca in that general direction was Lovelock, Nevada, and she mentioned that they had run out of gasoline in the town of Lovelock, that all of their gasoline outlets, all of their convenience stores, their gas stations, were out of gasoline until probably several hours later that day. That's a terrifying thing to hear about, because I remember what happened in the late 1970s when people started running out of gasoline the last time we had an oil shock that was engineered by the same people who were bringing us the current one. The other thing I thought was really interesting by way of illustrating the fact that we're on a course now to parabolic and hyperbolic inflation was the conversation I had with a couple of people to the effect that they're seeing $50 bills now, where 6 months ago they would have seen $20 bills, and a year ago they might have seen $10 bills. In other words, in order to get out ahead of the radical increase in consumer prices, which is a symptom of this inflation, people are now having to get larger and larger increments of cash in order to conduct these transactions. If you remember, and your listeners remember those pictures we probably saw in high school of the Weimar inflation in Germany, where people had eventually to use wheelbarrows to carry the Reichmarks into the grocery stores in order to buy with their badly inflated, badly devalued money the commodities they needed to live. We're not there yet, but this is the same type of a thing. This is a symptom of the same disease that you saw in Weimar Germany, you see today in Zimbabwe, where the value of your money is depreciating, is disintegrating in real time right before your eyes. That's really a shocking thing.
Well, I think people need to realize that the government's lying about inflation. It's
yes.
Really my figures that I get from responsible people about 12.5% inflation. Now, what people don't understand is that the government has stopped printing the M3. What is M3? That is the total new credit measure, the credit and the money that's being created, and that's running about 17.5%, which means that, you know, probably within 6 to 9 months we'll be having 17% inflation, which really means, of course, we're moving towards 20%. 20%, you know, inflation means you lose 17% of the value of everything you have in monetary increments every single year. When is it going to stop? Go ahead.
Yeah, that, of course, is the quickest and most effective way to dissolve the middle class upon which most of our social institutions depends. I mean, the biggest assault, the most effective assault on the middle class is through inflation. It's the most effective solvent, if you will, of the bourgeois, which, as you pointed out on many occasions, is something Lenin pointed out, and it's why it was something that was used very ruthlessly in the early years of the Soviet Union, and it's something that broke out in the early years of the French Revolution as well. I think it's really interesting if you go back to the bloody fountainhead of modern politics. In the French Revolution, you had this radical inflation that was unleashed in 1789 that resulted or that contributed to, I mean, there was a contributing factor, not the single source, of the bloody revolution and the upheaval that completely changed that that country's government from an imperfect Christian monarchy into a bloody, aggressive, totalitarian horror. And then out of that horror emerged Mr. Bonaparte, who was a hard monetarist, but apart from that virtue, I wouldn't really say there's much to recommend him, because the reason why he was able to ascend to power was he was the one who was willing to fire on his own people, to order his troops to draw bead on the peasants and to give a whiff of the grape shot to the starving people who were looking for some relief from the government that had betrayed them. And we really are entering sort of a Bonapartist phase of our history here, where between the ravages of inflation and the rampant corruption of our governing elite and its allied interests in the corporatist economic sphere on the one hand, and the emergence of a full-fledged police state on the other, it's entirely possible that as we see those types of economic conditions materialize, where you're talking about 17 to 20% inflation over the next year or so, the stage is being set for some real tragedies in this country, the likes of which we've not seen for decades, if ever.
Well, I think we're in real trouble. The government is lying to us that they cannot compile the M3 as they have for the last, you know,
sure,
many decades. They do not want the American people to understand what's happening, because the quickest way to destroy a nation is to debauch the currency, and that's what they are doing, not by accident, but by intent. And of course, if you want to destroy the middle class, you want to enslave the people, why? Do you know a better way than they're going about doing it right at the present time? They could shut off this skyrocketing increase in the oil price simply by the Commodity Control Board, that's here, a legal government agency, simply raising the margin requirements on the London Oil Exchange and stop the speculation. But they're not doing it. And oil hit $142.95 a barrel today. And where is the outcry? Oh, we're gonna sue the Saudis. That's how we're going to stop this whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, they know what to do. They just don't want you to know that they know what to do. And they have no intention of stopping the oil spiral.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-223 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared, or are you ignoring the signs?
Question:
do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the new world order.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful, it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkeleyite Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest today is William Grabe. We're talking about what's happening economically. We're talking about the inflationary spiral. We're talking about the fact that the price of oil and the fuel, the price of food, they're all going up. The value of the dollar is being progressively eroded, and most people don't understand that this is happening because the Federal Reserve System is massively increasing the amount of money and credit. I heard there's a great new speech by Ron Paul, and you can go to Ron Paul's personal web page and pull it down. He gave it just, I believe, yesterday. He pointed out that over the last couple of years, the Federal Reserve has actually increased the amount of money and credit in circulation by $4 trillion. That's $4 trillion. You just go up on the Internet, check it out. The speech that Ron Paul gave on the 26th to an empty congressional chamber, but it is available on YouTube and every American should see it. $4 trillion, what they're doing is progressively and intensely destroying the value of our currency, and Ron Paul's the only person who'll tell you the truth about it.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, not many of the people who are involved in the racket that we call politics remember that there's some dimension of what they're supposed to be doing that involves protecting the people who elected them from the full-scale onslaught on the part of the government against their wealth. They see themselves as being in the position of redistributing wealth into the hands of favored constituencies. And, of course, one of the best and most effective ways to do this is through warfare. And there's an indissoluble connection between governmental profligacy and warfare. And historically, in order to maintain an interventionist foreign policy, it's been necessary to inflate. That's something that happened even in ancient Rome when they were involved in not the issuance of paper currency, but circulation of coins. They ended up debasing their coinage to the point where they lost 99% of the value of the denarius between, I believe, the last century before Christ in 410 A.D., and we've almost duplicated that feat under the Federal Reserve in a little bit less than a century. You have to have hard money and hard law if you're going to retain Republican liberty. That's one of the chief insights of our Founding Fathers. The Constitution mandates both. Hard law in the sense that only those things that the Constitution authorizes the government to do can be done by the government. And one of those things, of course, is the maintenance of a hard money-based economy where only gold and silver can be circulated as currency. And it's by no means coincidental that in 1913, the Woodrow Wilson administration, which had a vastly ambitious program for intervention anywhere in the world, beginning in Mexico, but of course in Europe as well, pushed through the creation of the Federal Reserve, and within a very short time we were involved in our first European war, our intervention in World War I. And that's been pretty much the template for our foreign policy ever since. We're always getting our country involved in foreign wars of one type or another, and in foreign aid, which is basically the planting sequence, the planting element of this process whereby we sow conflict and we harvest bigger government. And that's something which is going on relentlessly now. The drumbeat for war with Iran has intensified and accelerated over the last couple of days. We see that another, I believe, $120 billion was appropriated for the war in Iraq. This has to come from somewhere, and it comes out of this vast pool of supposed hypothetical money that Representative Paul was referring to. And every time they issue another tranche of the so-called money, this inflationary fiat currency, this speculative hypothetical non-existent money, it steals the value of what we earn and what we have tried to save. And Americans are poorer now than they were just a couple of days ago because of what Congress did yesterday and what the Federal Reserve is going to do in order to empower Congress to carry out the promises it made in terms of the warfare state.
In fact, it's really, I hope people go to the website. It's called Daily Paul. Paul. And basically, Ron Paul is talking about legislation that will be introduced and probably passed shortly after the 5th of July when Congress gets back that will allow the president to begin to monitor everybody entering and leaving Iran and actually be able to block the travel, international travel, of Iranian citizens. Now, This is an act of war. And Ron says, you know, that probably this is going to pass. I mean, this is a prelude to war. I mean, we're at war with Iran once they pass that legislation, which means that we can begin to control everything that goes in, everything that goes out of Iran, and Congress is probably going to go right along with it. And his plea was to an empty House of Congress, of course, we must not pass this legislation. Now, I hope every one of our leaders will go up on the Internet. The website is Daily Paul. It's the talk that he gave on the 26th of June. Listen. And then encourage everyone you know to get onto that website. And we're going to carry that. There'll be a link on Radio Liberty here before the weekend ends. So we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, William Grieg, discussing the demise of the once great Republic of America.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
World Products now is introducing the new Detoxer foot and body pads that work while you're sleeping to pull heavy metals and toxins from the body. Our Detoxer pads release unwanted toxins, relieve stress and pain, and improves the immune system, circulation, and blockages all while you're sleeping. Very simply, you put one pad on each foot before bedtime and go to sleep. And when you wake up, the toxins that are drawn out of the body will be in the pads. You peel them off and throw them away. It's that simple. Call 908-691-2608. We encourage our customers to detox in as many ways as possible to bring the body back to a balance. The average person is exposed to hundreds of chemicals daily. This is one of the many powerful ways to detox the body. We recommend you try our Detoxer foot pads and see and feel the difference for yourself. Call today at 1-908-691-2608. Our Detoxer foot pads are vegan and environmentally friendly and do not contain chitosan. Call today, World Products Now, at 1-908-691-2608.
Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Grigg. And before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog.
The easiest way to get to my blog, which is called Pro Libertate, is to go by way of the website that is the homepage for the Welch Foundation. I work with the Welch Foundation as an editor at large. And the homepage is entitled The Right Source, and the web address for that is RightSourceOnline.com. Once again, that's one word, RightSourceOnline.com. If you go there, you can order my book, my recent book, Liberty and Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. There's a banner ad at the top of the page. You can click through and order it there. It's also available through Radio Liberty and also through Amazon.com. It's about 300 pages long. It costs about $11 to buy it. And the purpose of that book is to document the steady progress, the steady degeneration of what had been a free, prosperous republic into a centralized, unitary corporate state with a militarized homeland security state supplanting what had been our decentralized constitutional police system, which is based basically around county sheriffs and independent local law enforcement agencies. Now we have an increasingly militarized and overtly hostile army of occupation, in which it's very common, as I pointed out on my blog recently, for law enforcement officers to refer to civilians as if they themselves are not civilians. It was understood until very recently, and by very recently, I mean the last 10 or 15 years or so, that a police department, sheriff, his deputies, these were people who were peace officers. They were civilians, just like every other civilian. It's just that they had a different function in society. They were devoted full-time to the profession of protecting the rights and property of the law-abiding, whereas citizens, common citizens, don't do that most of the time. The citizens we call peace officers were supposed to do that more or less full-time. Now we have this militarized mentality where the police officers see themselves as being part of a brotherhood apart from the rest of society, and they regard the rest of us as civilians. That's a really important degeneration, a really important bellwether step toward this militarized state that I talk about. It's just that mindset has changed. You can see this in the way that they dress, in the way that a lot of them wear military haircuts and have military bearing and look for any excuse to deck themselves out in the accoutrements of a military or paramilitary force. And it's not necessarily a reflection on the character or morals of the people to go into law enforcement, although we have to expect that given the amount of money that's been pumped into law enforcement since 1994, that the standards will have fallen and they will have brought in a larger population of people who are less reputable. It's a question of how the system has been rigged by policymakers and the purpose to which law enforcement is now put. And right now we're seeing overtly that the purpose, the chief purpose of law enforcement, the Homeland Security State, is to protect the state. It's not to protect the citizens. That's why, for instance, we saw the FISA bill go through Congress just this past week. The so-called FISA bill was intended to circumvent the Fourth Amendment so as to ratify after the fact the illegal policy of the Bush administration regarding warrantless wiretaps and electronic eavesdropping. There is a federal intelligence security agency court. The FISA court exists to issue warrants for those circumstances where the president or some other policymaker believes in the Justice Department that there's a foreign intelligence agent who needs to be kept under scrutiny. You can get a warrant from that court. It's very differential. As a matter of fact, you can get a warrant from them after the fact. You can go out and conduct the surveillance and then go get a warrant after the fact in order to justify something you've already done. And the FISA court very rarely turns down those types of appeals. But the Bush administration wanted to establish as a matter of law and policy that the president can eavesdrop on anybody he chooses to, and he doesn't need to condescend to get the permission of a court or anybody else. That was the policy. It was completely illegal. It was an impeachable offense. It's something which was very intimately tied in with another policy initiative that is unique to the Bush administration, which is the institutionalization of torture. But the Congress, rather than holding the president and his minions to account, ratified after the fact through this so-called reform, the so-called reform that was passed to the FISA legislation, ratified after the fact everything the president did. And furthermore, they extended executive immunity to the telecom companies, that is to say the long-distance carriers, the internet service providers, and so forth, who cooperated in this scheme. This is a really interesting state of affairs here, where you had in Watergate basically one act of clemency by the executive. I misstated saying that the FISA reform bill granted executive clemency. This is legislative clemency, but it was something that was pursued by the Bush administration very assiduously. In after the Watergate crime, which involved a limited number of wiretaps of a small number of people for partisan purposes, you had Ford pardon Nixon, and this, of course, was something that was properly seen as a horrible scandal. Here you have countless thousands of people, probably millions of people, including common citizens like those of us who are participating in this radio show this afternoon, who are kept under illegal surveillance through wiretaps and the cyberspace equivalent thereof. And the people who are involved in this include many of the top telecommunications executives and decision makers who lent the use of their facilities to the government for this purpose. Thanks to Congress and the Bush administration, these people are going to be clothed in unconditional immunity. They can't be prosecuted for breaking the law. Now, this is Watergate cubed and then cubed and then cubed again, and if you add the square root of infinity, that's probably what you're dealing with here in terms of the offense to the Constitution. But that's very much part and parcel, part of the warp and weave of this homeland security state that I'm talking about.
But you know, I think we should point out, William, that this existed long before the September 11th attack.
And yes.
It existed long before the Office of Homeland Security. This is part of Project Echelon. It's simply expanding on it. But Project Echelon has existed since shortly after the Second World War, when, of course, the National Security Administration began tapping every telephone call and every email and every fax, and of course monitoring them all by computer. And anybody who doubts that says that couldn't be true. Why, certainly Rush Limbaugh would have told me about it. Has only to go up on the internet and type in, Google in Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, Echelon,
yeah.
E-C-H-E-L-O-N. You'll find that this had been going on for a long time. We not only monitor every telephone call in the United States, we monitor every telephone call in England, in Australia, and in Europe. People throughout the rest of the world are furious about it, and people in the United States don't even know it exists because, of course, the media is controlled, and what we believe and what we know is controlled by the people who control the media. In Europe, why there's been a tremendous outcry from the parliaments over there, and not a word of it in the controlled media here. So this is nothing new. It
no.
is simply legalizes and gives certainly the ex post facto immunity for a crime that has been carried out by our government, by the people of the NSA, National Security Administration, for the better part of 50 years.
That's true, and a lot of what goes on under the rubric of Homeland Security right now represents just the codification of trends and policies that have been in place for decades. That's certainly true with respect to the militarization of the police. That all started decades ago, around 1968 or so, when you first saw SWAT teams being created at the LAPD, and this was done in the context of concerns over urban crime and urban terrorism. You saw, of course, a huge escalation of that with the so-called war on drugs when we had our good friends at the CIA, who were pretty much the world's largest drug syndicate, create the Drug Enforcement Administration. The DEA is basically a creation of the CIA, and the DEA was set up, I believe, for the purpose basically of keeping the price of narcotics up so that the people that run the CIA would have this huge off-the-books resource funding that they can use as they see fit, then they're completely unaccountable to anybody. They don't even have to worry about whether or not they get the appropriations from Congress, because those are the people who control the narcotics trafficking economy, and that's a huge off-the-books source of revenue. But one obvious side effect of the war on drugs was the further commingling of the military and law enforcement realms of our government in ways that are completely unconstitutional, very dangerous to the liberty of Americans. The Waco atrocity was made possible by the so-called war on drugs. There was an imputed drug nexus there at Mount Carmel that was used to justify the involvement of the military in planning and facilitating the original raid and then the 51-day siege. So these are things that represent long-term trends. It's just that under the Bush administration, they've become so blatant and public and transparent and brazen, and so much has been done to institutionalize these things and make them permanent, that I really think we have reached a point where we have to be speaking in past tense about a republic. I believe that the republic was, and now what we're living under is a degenerate corporate empire. And, of course, the presumed heir apparent now to Mr. Bush is now Mr. Obama. And Obama is seen by many as a hard leftist. He is a leftist. He comes out of an Alinskyite socialist milieu. He's somebody who was part of the cultural Marxism of Illinois politics. That much is certain. But the thing is, in terms of the way he would approach matters of the Homeland Security State, there's not really a whole lot of difference between him and Mr. Bush. Mr. Obama supported this FISA Act just a couple of days ago. He thought it was a reasonable compromise, and the reasonable compromise was to give to the Bush administration everything it wanted, apparently. He's been talking about the supposed need to have a more bellicose policy toward Iran. As a matter of fact, he's been censuring the Bush administration for being inadequately stern in dealing with Iran. His major criticism of the Iraq War has been that it was fought ineptly rather than that it was fought at all, that invasion and occupation were launched at all. They shouldn't have been. He has been criticizing the Bush administration for not being sufficiently aggressive in dealing with Pakistan. And so you got somebody here who really, in terms of his packaging, is being presented as sort of a left-leaning quasi-pacifist candidate. But in terms of his substance, Mr. Obama is not much different from George W. Bush or John McCain. And, of course, they come out of the same clubby environment. Mr. McCain is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. George W. Bush is not. His father was. The people who surround him are. Same is true of Barack Obama. Barack Obama is surrounded by the likes of Zbigniew Brzezinski, the founder of the Trilateral Commission, who is one of his chief advisors.
I think it's very interesting, though, that Obama, you know, got away from, he was supposed to, he ordinarily is followed by the reporters, but, only reporters got on the plane, and Obama got into a car and took off and went to the Bilderberger meeting.
The Bilderberg meeting.
Not one mention of it.
Reporters hundreds of miles away on a wild goose chase.
And, of course, what happened, this was held in Virginia just last week. The Bilderberger meeting was held, Obama was there, not a word in the controlled media. Who are the Bilderbergers? About 140 of the most powerful people in the United States and Europe, the people who really pull the strings behind the scenes. So, I mean, it's very interesting. Obviously, they must like Obama to invite him to one of their meetings so he could really understand who really runs the country. Isn't it a shame that the media has seen fit not to mention that?
Yeah, and the other thing I find interesting about that particular development, when he was at the Bilderberg meeting, his likely vice presidential pick was there, as well as the head of his vice presidential search committee, Obama's vice presidential search committee until recently was the head of, Fannie Mae, the government-sponsored entity responsible for issuing most of the mortgage loans in this country, and one of the major engines of this housing debacle we're seeing. And the guy, of course, should be facing the prospect of a long time looking at striped sunlight and showering with his back to the wall. And instead, he was put in charge of Obama's vice presidential search committee and given a really chummy deal in terms of a plea bargain where he basically has to pay a negligible fine for conducting the type of fraudulent accounting practices that ended up getting convictions in the case of Enron. It's like Enron magnified by the power of 10 is what Fannie and Freddie have been involved in. And then Kathleen Sebelius, the Democratic governor of Kansas, was there at the Bilderberg meeting as well. And within a couple of days, although the press said nothing about the Bilderberg meeting, it mentioned the fact that Sebelius is being looked at as a VP candidate. And so it seems to me that they are influenced. Obviously, the dials are set by the decisions made at the Bilderberg Conference and the discussions that are held. But they don't say, these people who were there present, major people from the Washington Post and Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, they were all there at the Bilderberg meeting, and they immediately took up the chorus about Kathleen Sebelius, but they don't say why it is that they do so. They don't mention that it had something to do with these covert discussions of this shadowy group that were that met at Chantilly, Virginia. And that's a really good illustration of the plate tectonics below the surface of politics, these elite groups, if you will, that huddle together in various covert and shadowy ways in order to plan our future on our behalf. And I wish that people would start taking offense over this. I certainly do. I take offense to the fact that somebody presumes to plan the future for me and my family.
Amen to that. Well, of course, the thing is that they could never accomplish what they have without the control of the media, without the cooperation of people like Mr. Graham, who is, of course, the CEO of the Washington Post, who was attended. He's been a long-term attendee. His mother before him, Catherine Graham, attended the meetings of the Bilderberger Group, and not a word of the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. The editor of the Wall Street Journal was there, as well as many other people, you know, well-known in the media. They all keep it secret. It's a gentleman's agreement because the public is just too stupid to understand that they have to be led by this elite group. They're not incapable, or they are incapable of really managing their own lives. You have to have rulers, and this is one of the ruling groups.
It is, and it is probably the oldest of the major mingling bodies, if you will. It's older by several decades than the Trilateral Commission, which in many ways has similar functions to the Bilderberg meetings, in that the Trilateral Commission commingles the United States, elites in the United States, with Japan and Asia, and then with Europe, both Western and Eastern now. But the thing I find fascinating, once again, is you see the presence of Zygmunt Brzezinski as a chief advisor to Barack Obama. And Mr. Brzezinski was the guy who manufactured Jimmy Carter back in the mid-1970s. And really, there are some similar dynamics here between Obama and Carter. I mean, in the case of what's going on in the political realm, this is seen as a Democratic year in the same sense that 76 was seen as a Democratic year. There's a backlash to Watergate in 1976. There's a backlash to all kinds of corruption this year. And you have these obscure, supposedly idealistic figures that materialize out of nowhere with very little experience and very little by way of a biography. And you have Zbigniew Brzezinski here playing a key role in both instances. And Mr. Brzezinski, we should not forget, is the one who really invented the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, in the sense of getting the CIA and other elements of the shadowy world of spooked-up three-letter agencies to organize and radicalize the Muslims in Afghanistan way back in 1978. And it's really a fascinating thing that these people stay around for decades after they commit the acts that result in these huge changes in the world for the worse, and when they're identified as being instrumental in bringing about these changes, they can still hang around for decades later and still have influence and still have credibility. And that fact alone attests to the existence of this permanent elite that manipulates
things. He works for David Rockefeller. He's always worked for David Rockefeller, going back to 1973 when David Rockefeller hired Brzezinski to create the Trilateral Commission. Brzezinski is the nominal Democrat. Henry Kissinger is the nominal Republican. But they all come from the same purpose, their dedication not to America, but to the New World Order. Thank you so very much for being with us, William. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you tonight. Bye-bye.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. it, you can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Gas prices are out of control. Fight back by doing what thousands of listeners to the Alex Jones Show have done. Developed by a major oil company, a product that really works. Introducing SFR's Protect-A-Complete Fuel System and Engine Treatment. Just one bottle increases mileage for up to 6 months. Fleet tested by major oil companies showing improvements in every car tested. Stop paying mechanics your hard-earned money to have your injection system cleaned. Protect-A cleans up to 95% of new injector condition in just one tank full and is safe for all cars. Tests conducted by General Motors conclude fuel injectors can partially plug in as little as 5,000 miles due to poor gasoline quality. Fight high fuel prices by purchasing a Protect-A fuel system treatment for only $9.95 and receive an engine treatment free at $12.95 value. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Go to oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com or call 888-USE-SFR1. That's 888-873-7371.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, I want to mention that we do carry William Griggs' book, Liberty and Eclipse. We think it's an excellent book. We recommend it to you. We also, of course, carry a four-tape set, Is There a War on Drugs? Is there really a war on drugs? Why is that important? Well, because, of course, this whole war on drugs is as phony as a $3 bill. It's like the war on terrorism, the war on poverty, the war on AIDS, certainly the war on poverty. And every time we have a war where we get more of what we're supposedly fighting. If you doubt that the CIA is involved with drugs, well, you need to get this four-tape set. We also, of course, have the book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, whether we have it either in hardcover or softcover, written by Monica Jensen Stevenson, formerly the producer at 60 Minutes. She tells not only the story of the men we abandoned in Vietnam, but the fact that the CIA was involved in the drugs. In fact, they couldn't have this information out. They pulled the book off the shelves, and most of the copies disappeared. Monica got the copyright to her book back, moved up to Canada. It was reprinted up there, and somebody accidentally, I want you to understand, just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies. If you want to verify what I'm saying, we have an interview with Monica Jensen Stevenson entitled One Man Came Back. We also have The Men We Left Behind. There's actually an interview with Monica there as well, as she tells part of the story, and then the rest of it in One Man Returned. These are two four-tape sets. They're classics. You need to get them. If you want to understand the American empire, you must get the four-tape set, Economic Hitman. It's based upon the author of the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, but the book now is no longer available. It's out of print. You may be able to get it off at Amazon. We do also carry another book, though, by Mr. Perkins. At least he writes the foreword to it, called The Secret History of the American Empire. The Secret History of the American Empire. We do have an empire. We have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world, just exactly as the Romans did when they had their empire. And certainly you need to understand they're lying to you about what this is all about. They are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. They've already got everything in place. That's why they're in the process of destroying our economy now, so they can enslave our people as well. And the only possibility there is of saving the world from the impending tyranny is that the people of the American United States understand what's going on and unite and expose the wickedness of these people and behind them the powerful spiritual forces that are energizing this move towards the world government, the destruction of Christianity, and of course the implementation and enthronement of a one world leader who will be the Antichrist. Understanding this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, economic, educational battlefield, and most people don't even know the war is going on. Why do you think that the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools? Well, it wasn't a mistake. They knew what they were doing. They knew it was going to happen. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I tell you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. And of course, you can certainly get the DVD or you can get the book available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, you need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret and get the syllabus that goes with that. That's the forbidden secret. You need to get my talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and look at our videos and look at the other videos we have posted there. Listen to our programs. You can listen to them 9 hours a day. Consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We need your help to maintain the 65 outlets we have every week. But, of course, we have accomplished what we have because we have your support and because you have your prayers. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be back in just a moment with another fascinating program.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months.